This saying is trustworthy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And of these, I am the foremost. So what St. Paul's doing is really, when he's speaking to Timothy, he's getting right to the heart of Christianity. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And of these, I am the first. Now, we need to take a step and just reflect for a moment on that St. Paul is saying that he's the foremost. Well, we hold up St. Paul as the greatest of all evangelizers, one of the greatest saints in the church. Yet he recognizes, even after his conversion, he is the greatest, he's the foremost of all of these who are needing redemption, needing salvation. And so he always keeps that balance of recognizing that his need of a Savior and his work to carry out the mission of Christ. This is, I think, a good lesson for us. When we go to the confessional and we confess our sins, and a lot of times we confess the same sins. I don't know if that ever happens to you. Well, it probably does. Okay. And we think maybe nothing's happening. Maybe God's not working. What good or what use is this? Maybe part of the lesson for us when we don't seem to be making progress, and maybe it's been years and we're confessing the same sins, maybe it's been decades, is that God is trying to teach us that we can't save ourselves. You know, the Pharisees and scribes in the gospel, they were getting angry at Jesus because he was welcoming sinners to the table. He was inviting them, bringing them. The scribes and Pharisees saw themselves as righteous. They were sufficient in themselves. They didn't need a Savior in the way that Jesus was bringing about and communicating the message of salvation. And so when we have to struggle, and no matter what kind of self-help we use or strategy that we're trying to embrace doesn't seem to work, it really can lead to greater humility of like, I cannot do this, right? I guess I am a sinner, right? I don't just sin, I am a sinner. And so then we open ourselves and dispose ourselves to, you know, the wonderful grace of salvation. This passage also gives us a glimpse into the heart of God. What God is about, how does God see us, and why did he send his son? He came out to seek the lost, to save sinners. He did not come for those who were healthy. And so we have these great parables in the gospel. We have three of them. I only use two of them today. There's a shorter version of the gospel, and then there was the longer version, which included the story of the prodigal son. But we just heard the prodigal son not too long ago, so I chose the shorter gospel. But the man who has 100 sheep and one of them is lost, which of you would not go after the one lost sheep, leaving the 99 in the desert? And so, and then he says, after finding that sheep, he rejoices and he gathers his friends and they come together and they celebrate. And the same thing with this woman who's lost this coin. She has 10 coins, 10 drachmas, which is the one drachma's equivalent of basically a day's wage. And so she searches up and down every nook and cranny until she finds a coin. And then she finds it and she rejoices. And she too invites others to celebrate in that joy. And so we hear that, we hear those words, rejoicing and joy, like five times in the gospel alone. Joy, what does God get joy out of? Where does God rejoice? He rejoices when sinners come back into the fold. And so the first thing that we have to do is recognize ourselves, like St. Paul, as sinners. Not that we just sin, but we are sinners. We are sinners. And if we don't get that, then we fall into the camp of the scribes and Pharisees. We're relatively pretty good people. We haven't killed anybody. That kind of attitude, right? We've heard that before. No, St. Paul's saying, I'm the foremost. So we get that to that point, and then we move to what? That we are called then to carry out the mission of God, the mission of Christ in the world, which is what? What was the mission of Christ? Christ came into the world to save sinners. We have a work to do in going out and reaching out to the lost sheep, to bring them back into the fold. And so all of us have either family members, friends, coworkers who have left the faith or are strained in various ways, and we see it and we find ourselves frustrated. We don't know if we're supposed to, you know, step in and do something to intervene. Well, what we're saying here, because of our baptism, we have a work to do. And if we really have the heart of God, our heart would be going out to want to do everything possible to bring them back into the fold. You know how the Marine, I think it's the Marines, have the motto, you know, no man left behind, right? Well, Christ has the motto, no sinner left behind. You know, Christ wills that all be saved and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So God's ultimate will, no sinner is left behind. And if we have the heart of Christ, which is what holiness is about, our heart being more and more transformed, becoming more and more like Jesus, then our heart is going to be reaching out, wanting to move out to bring those who are lost and bring those who are separated themselves back into communion with God's family, the church. So you might ask yourself, like, okay, well, what do I do? Okay, with my, so I have friends, I have family members, peers in the workplace that have fallen away. How do I reach out to them? Well, I think really the key is you have to start where they are. Okay, we might have some certain expectations of where we want to be, and then we can just sit back and be armchair quarterback and be cynical and critical. Or we can step out into the fallenness of the world and reach out to them where they are at. Start where they're at, where they are at. Ignatius of Loyola, he says the devil has this strategy with us. He says for a person who's making progress in the spiritual life, so they're advancing in holiness, he says what he does is he doesn't tempt them by, you know, some kind of devious act, like whether it's any of the capital sins, right? Gluttony or lust. Rather, what the evil spirit does on somebody who's making progress in the spiritual life, he starts where they are at. So say they are pursuing holiness, and a mother who is pursuing holiness, her prayer life is growing. And then he suggests thoughts that are conducive to her way of life, to her life of holiness. Okay, so they reflect her life of holiness. So, you know, I'm praying a rosary every day. You know, I'm the mother of five. And, you know, what if I feel like I should be in the church praying more. I think I'm going to start praying, going to church and pray for an hour and a half every day. Okay? So it sounds really good. It's conducive, right, to her life of holiness. But then, you know, and so she has all kinds of consolations when she goes to pray, you know, for the first week. And then the second week, she just starts getting tired. And then, you know what? She starts getting cranky around the kids, right? And uncharitableness, lack of patience. And so the Holy Spirit, husbands are looking at their wives like, see? Okay. So basically, evil spirit starts with something good, starts where they're at, and then moves them to his own devious designs, to separate, move away from the, you know, what their ultimate calling is. Well, St. Ignatius also says we can work with sinners in the same way, those who have strayed. He said you don't start by saying, you know, you should be praying an hour a day or praying the rosary every day and just talking about religious things. He said start where they are at with their vain interests and speak to them there, and then step by step lead them to the awareness of God's goodness and grace and mercy. So here's an example. When I was a junior in high school, and I've shared part of this story with you before, and I'm sure you remember, our pastor at Tampa, Kansas, it was, as I say, a huge parish, and he came with Father Bernard Georges, who was at that time a seminarian, and we had a vacation Bible school that week, and around the table was my brother, two brothers, very young sister, and my girlfriend, my parents, and Father Bernard Georges and Father Leroy Motz. And they had come over because Father Motz really thought my brother James had a vocation. And so, well, when Bernard came, he did not feel like James had the vocation. He was going in my direction. So there I was sitting, and we started talking about sports, which I was really into, right? And weightlifting, working out. And so he started asking me questions that appealed to my vanity. How much do you bench? Yeah. And so then he goes, hey, let's go out and see how much you can lift, you know. And so I was sold, right? Because he was speaking to, yeah, was I vain? Was I very self-centered? Well, am I still self-centered? Yes. But he was speaking to me exactly where I was at. And that began to open me up to explore more. So starting where people are at, that is the most important fact when it comes to evangelization and mission and missionary work. This same work that we're called to. Why Christ came? He came to call sinners. He came into the world to call sinners. Every single one of us, as I was just mentioning, isn't just invited, but is called to this work. And if we open ourselves up to it, allow ourselves to take the risk, we'll be surprised at what God can accomplish out of our meager efforts. And so in that spirit, we continue on, remembering at the end of Mass, the priest says, "Ite missa est," which is translated, "Go, you are sent." Sent to do what? Fulfill the mission of Christ. Christ came into the world to save sinners.